You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning at 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this. There's a story that we wanted to cover because Antrim GAA tweeted last night from their own Twitter account pictures of Casement Park, and it was pretty awful stuff when you consider that this is the field of dreams for young Antrim GAA folk, and indeed for the older Antrim GAA folk, the rank and file club members. The photographs show a pitch absolutely overgrown, the stands in rack and ruin effectively, and it has fallen into disrepair and disgrace. Declan Bogue is on the line to talk to us a bit about this morning. Declan, Antrim GAA tweeted, "How many children will miss out playing at Casement Park? We deserve a county ground. Hashtag GAA. It would be nice to move it forward." What's going on here?
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Owen. What is going on here is nothing but inertia over the last number of years. I mean, actually, you know, those photographs that you refer to are so dramatic looking. You know, you talk about urban decay. A number of years ago, some enterprising farmer actually took bales off the pitch, which an awful lot of hurlers who would have come up to play Antrim when they were going well would have said that after Thurles it possibly was the best hurling surface in the planet. Just a brief part of history of what's going on. In February of 2014, they had been told that their initial plans for a 38,000 seater stadium was being turned back because of, you know, concerns over the height of certain stands and stuff like that. They're very keen to have it all seater. I don't really understand. They could have got round this by having some kind of terracing. But anyway, that was turned down for concerns over safety. And in February of last year, then they submitted another plan, revised plan, but there has been no word since. Because really, Ger, like, we're heading over 500 days of no Stormont government, no Stormont executive. And while they thought that some senior civil servants might be able to give the green light on these things, an incinerator project costing over 200 million was turned down recently. And that in May of this year. And then they have basically said that, you know, senior civil servants aren't able to make these decisions. So Casement Park probably will not be, there'll be no decision made until Stormont is up and running again, if ever.
That's a bit mad, isn't it? Because it means that planning is now entirely a political issue, and that's the type of thing that leads to corruption really quickly, as we can all attest to from our own history.
Some might say that that's always been the case up here too. Look, Jerry, you know, I mean, planning, nothing could surprise you about how things are operated in the north, really.
It doesn't, I have to say, it doesn't. But at the same time, you would assume that the planning process is like, yeah, you come for planning and you don't actually need a rubber stamp from the government because, well, that's like, then it means the government has veto on what gets built and what doesn't get built, and that automatically leads to political favours.
Yes, yes. Look, I mean, that's par for the course. Like, what's probably more concerning is that, like, since Antrim handed over this ground to Ulster Council, like, and don't forget, like, this was more or less in Antrim's gift. They basically handed this ground over to Ulster Council to do what they wanted with it, and they would, you know, then get to use it off the Ulster Council. So it's left Antrim entirely without a ground. They play most of their football games in Corrigan Park in West Belfast, and they tend to move the hurling games around different clubs, and it's just woefully inadequate. And also, this has cost 10 million. This has cost 10 million before a sod has been turned. You know, it's just entirely unacceptable. Like, and it's been, there's been some mismanagement, but also, like, you know, the GAA have had huge roadblocks put in their way, and nothing's been above board either.
So, Arlene Foster obviously was at a big GAA match this summer. A whole heap was made of it. Is there a possibility that if Stormont comes back, that this is the type of thing that gets fast-tracked as a result of some of the stuff that's happening in the background?
You might hope so. you know, you might hope so. That's all. Forgive me for being sort of apathetic about it, like, but, you know, at this point, it's been going on for years, and, like, Stormont hasn't been, it's been down for over 500 days, but before that, there was very little traction and very little appetite to actually get Casement Park going. You know, there was, it was cause for celebration among some that the thing was being held up for so long. It was the GA, after all, that wanted to have a multi-purpose stadium at the site of the former H blocks, like in Longkesh, and you know, that wasn't ever going to be the case. Among the other rugby and soccer associations, didn't want that to be the case, and funding was granted to upgrade Kingspan, funding was granted to make Windsor Park into a national stadium, but yet when the GAA come looking for their slice of it, you know, it's just kept off and kept off, like, you know.
It's pretty clear cut, though. Like, this is the type of stuff that, you know, back in the day would have happened on a local level and it would have bred simmering resentment. This is, like, writ large. It's a brand spanking, gleaming Kingspan Ravenhill, a brand spanking Windsor Park, which is hosting world title fights, and then there's, like, weeds growing in Casement Park. Mm-hmm. You can't hide that.
You put it in those terms, yeah. It's pretty stark, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, what? So, I hadn't seen these photographs before, and I can totally understand why, you know, the people who live cheek by jowl with this, it kind of insidiously is something that you almost not accept, but are like, okay, well, that's just how things are. But, like, fair play to the Antrim County Board or whoever runs their Twitter account last night for putting the picture out there, because it's pretty grotesque, really, when you think about it. Like, ultimately, it's not grotesque that they're not developing a stadium, but it's grotesque that what appears to be selective refurbishment of particular sports, which are identified with a particular community, are favoured over another community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong
so
with that?
You can only go on the evidence that we have. Like, you know, you can only really say, let's not forget, there was a plan application turned down, and the plan application, there was reasons for that, you know, and there was a judicial review done on that, and, like, still, so, I mean, you can't totally attribute entirely all the blame to politicians. Like, if things weren't in order with a planning application, and there was concerns over the egresses and where people would exit the stadium, the kind of human traffic that would be on a particular, on the Anderson Road at that particular time. So I don't, like, maybe there's feelings on all sides here. Like, you know, it'd be very easy for us to say, right, this is the problem, and it all falls down onto the side of politicians from one side of the house. And I'm not so sure that that can be our ultimate position on it.
Okay. I was up recently, and Andersontown Road is a massive roadworks, and apparently has been for a long period of time. It would have been possible maybe to do those roadworks in conjunction with the redevelopment of the stadium and have that traffic plan in place. Like, so perhaps there isn't joined up thinking going on, and it doesn't feel like there's a will to make everybody get onto the same page.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the boy like you up there, Chair, by the sounds of it, and you've considered this and you've teased this out. Like, but you know what I mean? All those kind of departments are separate departments too, like roads and planning and all that, you know, it would take an awful lot of creative thinking, and sometimes that's not in abundance, like, and especially when it's just total inertia and there's nothing happening, you're not going to get that in the first instance.
Yeah. You don't seem particularly hopeful that anything is actually going to come with this. I mean, at least perhaps it can be brought to public attention, there can be a conversation held about it, but ultimately it sounds like this is kind of pushing the same rock up the same hill.
Yeah, look, you know, people in Antrim, you know, they really are crying out for they're crying out for some kind of status in the Gael, right? The Gael Fast funding was announced, and there was $1 million to be spent over the next 5 years, right? I'll give you an example. I don't know how you are for time, Jerry.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
tell you a short anecdote. Like, O'Donovan Ross are one of the Antrim's premier clubs. I think they're third on the list of Antrim Senior Hurling Championships. They're a serious, proper hurling club. And Samuel McNaughton was telling me last Thursday that he went up to see Cushendall and Ross play the other day, and it was something like 6 27 to 1 to 7 points, and Rossa only scored 2 points in the second half. There wasn't even a single person from O'Donovan Rossa, the premier hurling club in Belfast, at the game. He says he went down to the game in Rossa, in West Belfast, on a fine summer's evening 6 weeks previous to that, and he says there was only about two or three people watching it, and there's one sub. I mean, if that can, and now there's obviously Rossa have problems with injuries, and a lot of their hurlers went to America for the summer. But I mean, in general, hurling and football in Belfast is not thriving. Like, there are some clubs that are really making a serious fist of things and going well, but there are probably too many clubs, and they're a hangover of the time when everybody socialised in West Belfast and stayed in West Belfast, right? You know, that doesn't really happen anymore. Belfast is much more open and inclusive for all areas. But it's generally sport in the city, Gaelic games in the city, is suffering a little bit. It's big time suffering. Like, even just if you look at, like, you know, the South West would be traditionally seen as the big area for football. Now, a lot of the sort of titles have been won by city teams in the recent way, but underneath it all, like, participation levels and stuff like that, it is not going well. And that's why it's kind of discouraging to hear, like, you know, I think it was John Horan that said at the announcement of the funding of this Gael Fast project that, you know, they'll need to see results pretty quick. I mean, this is going to take, like, in order to rejuvenate and get Belfast GA going and thriving, this is a 20-year project. And, you know, given the kind of funding that has been thrown out to other counties, and for the duration of that, for, you know, for a 5-year project to be announced for $1 million, which, let's face it, that is kind of paltry, really, when you're talking about that level of funding, and for a threat to be put over the head of the guy Paul Donnelly, who hasn't even started the job yet, I think is pretty cheap. And so, like, the redevelopment of Casement Park and having big games coming to the middle of West Belfast would have been a symbolic thing for Antrim Gaels. It would have been symbolic for Belfast Gaels. And I feel for them, because it's not happening.
You talk about the Gael Fast funding. Like, you could see fairly quick returns on that investment in terms of the number of kids playing and the number of kids staying playing. I saw some stats recently about the number of kids in Limerick City who were playing in schools, and the percentage hurling mm-hmm. misses, and the percentage was really low, and then they put a project in place and the percentage grew really rapidly, because
I think it was 8% to 52% or something, wasn't it? It was crazy figures.
Yeah, it was an incredible turnaround. And I remember being so shocked by them that I didn't actually want to quote them to you there, because they sound so amazing. But, like, there was a sense in recent years that certainly middle-class nationalist Belfast had started to return to the GAA, and those new clubs were being particularly well-run and were kind of coming out from under the shadow of the Troubles. Is that not the case across...
That's absolutely... Like, St. Bridget's have a brilliant day. They share training facilities with Harlequins. Rugby, I'm sure Joe Brodie has been on the show in the past talking about this. Breda has just exploded in terms of numbers. People coming to them. Kerry Duff, I think it was. No, they're not. They're specifically not Antrim, but they are a suburb of Belfast. Of all the down clubs, they had the most of any of the cool camps over the summer last summer, which was astonishing, like, you know, for an area like Kerry Duff. The one problem, I'll return to that issue I said earlier, there's probably too many clubs in Belfast, right? You see, and this comes from me, from youth coaches in the county in Belfast, is that if Gaelfast did, right, say that they had a revolution similar to what you're talking about in Limerick, and from 8% go on to 52%, right? What the clubs will find is they don't actually have enough volunteers on the ground then to cope with those kind of numbers, because, and I'm involved in youth coaching myself, you know, you have to have a certain amount of parents or a certain amount of adults to a certain amount of children, and they're simply overwhelmed by it. And then in the first couple of weeks when those kind of things happen, they can't cope with the numbers, and then they find that the numbers gradually drift away. You know, John Martin, for example, is a coach in Ardoyne, Kickham's club, and he's a columnist with Gaelic Life, and he told me that he went cap in hand to all the local primary schools around North Belfast, explaining the virtues of hurling, could call in sport, all this, you can come to us and we will look after you well. And he said he spent weeks basically blitzing all these primary schools and giving his pitch, and he got one extra child who didn't stay after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's going to be very hard. But, you know, so this is a conversation I seem to have every time I speak to, you know, Samuel McNaughton, too. He goes in, he teaches. It's all about trying to get the enthusiasm into the children. Like, he used to go in and coach schools in Larne, which is particularly non-GA environment, let's just say, and found that the children loved it. But you have to have a structure in place then for them to actually progress. You can't just go into a school and have 50 children eating out of your hand because this is a character, he's taken a lovely training session, it's so entertaining.
Yeah.
You need then somewhere for them to progress to, and that place then needs to be equipped. And that's what a lot of this Gael Fast thing needs to look into, is what are the viabilities of some of these clubs and how can we strengthen them?
Yeah. I don't know. The point you're making that this is a circular conversation and that there is 500 odd days of inaction at Stormont. Can anything fix this, like, soon?
I don't really understand the question.
Okay, let me rephrase it. Yeah, sorry.
Any progress can be made is go on ahead. Sorry.
So we do stuff with Ross Tucker, the science of sport guy, who talks about dope testing, and he always comes back to the same phrase: where there's a will, there's a way. And at the moment, there's no will to change anti-doping worldwide, so it's not going to happen. If there was a will, there probably is a way to restore GAA in Belfast to a position where it is well organised, well run, well funded, and returning on investment in terms of having volunteers come and want to be associated and having kids stay and be part of the GAA community. Does that will exist in the right places?
If we take the two, we have to take the two in isolation, right? Just forget about Casement Park at the moment, like, and just say, is there a will? There is a will. Is there a way, you know, I mean, if you're relying on, like, you know, politicians to deliver a stadium, they're very, look, you know, they've been off work for a long time and they have to fill their days. And you see various politicians going along and making a big play about, oh, we went to the BBC today to make representation that there should be more Gaelic games on BBC NI. Knowing rightly that these contracts are signed, seen, delivered for the next number of years, nothing's going to change. Like, you know what I mean? Then you see them, you know, making sure that they get their picture taken at the offices of RTE to talk about geo-blocking against Gaelic games, not being able to see in the north. And, like, I mean, all these things are just token. There's no substance to it because they can't change anything because they know this is legalities that they're coming up against. Now, so put that to one side. Are you going to get a rejuvenated Antrim GAA, and particularly Belfast GAA? That has to come from within, and it has to be an exclusively a GAA thing. And that has to be funded and provided. There's a certain amount of coaches. I forget the figure. There's six coaches going into all the schools in Belfast, six or four, not sure. But then there needs to be some kind of effort to rejuvenate the clubs. And that has to come from within. But probably what you're going to have to do here, seriously, and this would be a hugely unpopular position, but you're going to have to say, right, I'll tell you what, we just want 5 football clubs, 5 hurling clubs. If that means amalgamating a lot of clubs, then so be it. But that's kind of the way it has to be for volunteers, for numbers, and then to get the thing concentrated. And at the moment, it's like the Wild West. Clubs are pinching players from all sorts of schools and families, and you get the situation whereby, like, Antrim County final last year, Donal Nugent and his brother Conor Nugent was sent off for actually striking his brother Donal Nugent on opposition teams in the county final. That's the kind of, you get an awful lot of that in Belfast. Like, and what needs to happen is concentrated, if you want to call them super clubs, then so be it. But that's your first start.
Declan, it seems labyrinthine, but thanks very much for explaining it to us this morning.
Ropey enough, Ger, but I got through it.
That's great stuff. Declan Bogg there with us this morning on OTB AM, talking about those photographs that the Antrim County Board tweeted last night. Pretty stark, right? And you can see how it just becomes something that becomes part of your life and you go, okay, well, that's just that situation that we have over there at the moment. And it's hard to do anything about.
Yeah, well, like, plan A is clearly in a very grim situation, but that plan B that he talks about the amalgamation of clubs, well, if there's two brothers striking each other on other ends from other ends of the pitch, and they're from two different clubs, like, can you see that like being conducive to a scenario where you're going to amalgamate those clubs?
Tricky.
Like, just because it's Belfast doesn't mean that they don't have club rivalries, that the club next door to the other, just because they're on the same side of the political fence, doesn't hate each other. Like, say that to any other area of the country that plays GAA, and they will laugh at you. They're like, there's no way we are joining forces with that club across the road.
With that shower, I believe, is the...
Exactly. So just because they're both nationalists doesn't mean they're going to join forces. So, like, it seems like a very... Like, you're up there a good bit. Like, you've got family up there. I'm sure you've seen a lot more firsthand, but it seems like an extremely grim situation, given that, let's not forget, over the past couple of years, there has been talk of hope. There has been talk of this shiny new Casement Park that will be the beacon of light that will kind of further the evolution of GAA in Belfast City.
Yeah, and we shouldn't also, like, sometimes spending on stadiums when everything else isn't in place is actually a bullshit notion. Like, yeah. if you haven't put the coaching and the structures and the architecture in place to allow a stadium to be used properly and not just be a white elephant, and there's no point in it. And we've seen that in so many instances where GAA venues or other sports venues are built and then not used and never full, like almost never full. And I don't mean like once a season full, never. Like sometimes stadiums that have been built and refurbished here have never been full, so they've been completely pointless. And that might not necessarily be what's required in Antrim GAA, but like when you think about the money that was spent on Kingspan, when you think about the money that was spent on Windsor Park, when you think about the money that hasn't been spent and the situation that is not being fixed and the judicial review goes saying, no, actually, you know, you can't have that thing. Well, then...
It's almost not a coincidence.
Well, you just have to start saying this doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah.
So, if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 AM.